Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back to the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being a part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm very excited about a new friend, Thomas Barta, joining us right now. Thomas is a speaker, a writer, a consultant, an executive in the area of helping companies like yours and mine put our best foot forward in the marketplace. And he joins us from all the way from Cologne, Germany, and where he lives and works. And he's the co-author of a new book called The 12 Powers of a Marketing Leader, How to Succeed by Building Customer and Company Value. And those are some interesting words to combine there, Thomas. Welcome back. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here. Congratulations on your book.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So, marketing leader, becoming a marketing leader is, you know, we talk a lot about marketing on the show. We talk a lot about leadership on the show. We don't, even though it's pretty intuitive when you think about it, those two words don't always go together. Talk to us about why you feel it's important to encourage people to become a marketing leader.
That's a great question, and I think that's the core thinking of what we're putting forward. And let me explain to you what the idea is. The idea is very simple. As a marketer, you're typically really good at looking outside and, you know, understanding customers and doing all the right things for the market. But most marketers, in the end, fail, or many fail, getting stuff done internally, because not everybody agrees and people get frustrated and budgets get cut and what have you. And what we found is that a lot of marketers could step up and help their companies be better by just being better marketers internally, bringing people along, helping them see what's important in the market. And, you know, I didn't find this through research. Actually, I was a marketer, and I experienced it myself. I had done, was leading the European marketing for Kleenex, for example, for a while. And, you know, even in customer-focused organizations, you feel that, you know, I knew so much about the market, had so many great ideas, but how much did I really get done internally? How did I convince people that they come on board? And that's the challenge I was tackling. And the beauty of working with McKinsey later was I could then work with the CEO and figure out how they think about stuff. And then you see how the things don't match.
So
when you're
talking about marketing internally, we also talk a lot about managing internally and with trying to get our employees to be engaged. We talk about creating a culture that benefits the business model and the people inside. We talk about a lot of those kinds of things. We don't often combine those with marketing, though. I want you to do that for us now.
Yeah. Actually, if you think about it, it's actually absolutely critical, because the marketing job is a little bit difficult, or it's odd partly, right? Because on one hand, much of what you do as a marketer is about the future. Stuff you can't prove, right? Future revenue, future company here, and stuff.
Right.
And what do you say when someone comes to you and says, I know the future? Right? You probably are a little bit skeptical. That's challenge number one, right? And not finance leaders don't have that challenge that much. Second challenge is, just imagine you had a company that had really great customer experience. You know, even take a small business where all customers are really happy. Well, who has to join in to make that happen? It's almost everybody in the company that's kind of somehow customer-facing. And most of these people don't report to marketing.
Right.
So as a marketer, you have this big power gap. And I don't have to talk to you about skills in marketing and what's currently happening in the digital world. There's almost an explosion, right? And marketers are getting nervous and frustrated, and they can't know it all anymore. So you have to rely, even in the smallest organization, when you just have very, very small marketing teams of, you know, one or two or three people, you start to have to rely on others to help you, because you can't know it all. If you put all that together, that's a pretty challenging job.
So you're saying that you may, as the CEO of the company, it's your job to envision where the company is going to go in the future. But it's the other part of that is making sure that these the folks who are working for you, you know, you're counting on them to believe you, but you got to help them believe you, right? You've got to market to them. You got to help them understand more about what's on your mind, what you're thinking about the future, not just telling them that you know what the future is.
Exactly, because if you tell someone you know what the future is, they'll have to be skeptical, right? Because you can't be wrong, right? And
right.
We have many examples of businesses where the bosses have been wrong, right? You probably remember the digital company, now that was a large one, and their boss said, you know, who would ever need a personal computer in their home, right? Your bosses. So I think it is important, you're absolutely right, that you get people on board. And for some things in the future, you can't prove them. Then that's okay. Everybody understands it. But you have to lay down your rationale.
Right.
And then two things. Well, there's a rational answer and there's an emotional answer. So you appeal to the rational side, but you also have to capture people's hearts because they want to follow you, not just with some facts, but also with a dream for the future.
Right. Well, one of the things that I try to use and encourage other people to use along these lines, I think they are, and you tell me if I'm right or not, is whenever I make a comment or a statement or declare something in my business to my employees, to my stakeholders, I follow it up by saying, what do you think?
Mm.
Would you call that a marketing question? An internal marketing question?
Well, yeah, I mean, you could classify it as, I would call it a very, very good question and a very important question because that's the way you get real feedback from people because if you just say, oh, do you agree? And a lot of people will not. But if you say, what do you think? An open question like you propose is extremely powerful. And there's some deals of the methodologies we need to use internally to, you know, to get people together and have them rally around one big idea.
What are some other, you know, we talk about lots of marketing best practices and disciplines here. But what would be another example of an internal marketing best practice or a question or something like that?
So for your team, the people you manage, why don't you try a philosophy of ask for forgiveness and not for permission? Go out and try something and tell me how it works. And even if you screw up, right, let's talk about what happened. But I'd rather have you take initiative than you coming to me every single time getting sign off and approval.
So give them responsibility and authority. To a degree.
Exactly, and I think the idea of forgiveness, not permission, is quite memorable.
But it can be a little dangerous, though, and a little expensive in a small business. We're going to talk about this more with Thomas Barta. The new book is called The 12 Powers of a Marketing Leader.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.